سلام بچه ها، امیدوارم که همه خوب باشین. امروز میخوان در مورد یه زبان صحبت کنن که خیلی خیلی قدیمیه، ولی از اون قدیما تا حالا خیلی زیاد تغییر نکرده. این زبان فارسیه. Persia is a mystery to many people. It was one of the most ancient empires, and its language Persian is among the oldest. But we rarely know much about it. Some people even often confuse it with Arabic. I started to learn Persian out of curiosity, and I can say it was one of the most eye-opening experiences. Learning Persian had not only allowed me to communicate with people, travel to Iran, but also serves as a linguistic bridge to a rich ancient civilization that has contributed to art, science, literature, and philosophy. So today, let's discover the history of this language together. Persian or Farsi to its native speakers belongs to the Iranian branch of the Indo-Iranian language family, which is a subfamily of the Indo-European group. Persian and Farsi refers to the same language, but their usage and context differ based on linguistic and geographical context. Persian is the English term for the language and has been used historically in the West to describe the language spoken in Persia in academic, international, and formal contexts. It covers more ground since Persian as a language includes types like Farsi in Iran, Dari in Afghanistan, and Tajik in Tajikistan. Farsi, on the other hand, is the native name of the language and is derived from the word Pars, referencing the region of Persis. In informal and cultural contexts, especially among Iranians and diaspora, Farsi might be more commonly used. If you are a Persian native speaker, write in the comments and tell me which name you prefer and why. This language is spoken by around 110 million people, primarily located in the Middle East and Central Asia. This number does not include diaspora communities, especially sizable ones in the US. In Iran, around 70% to 75% of the population speaks Persian. While Iran is home to many ethnic minorities, each with its own language, a small percentage of its people speak Persian as a second language. But Farsi remains the official language for education, publications, news, media, and government administration. In Afghanistan, Dari Afghan Persian is spoken by around 15 to 20 million people. In Tajikistan, the language known as Tajik is spoken by around 9.5 million people, which is the majority of the population. The ancient Iranian peoples belong to a larger group called Indo-Iranian, who are a subgroup of the Indo-European family. The Indo-Iranians initially lived in the Eurasian steppe before they began their migrations. By around 2000 BCE, two main groups had emerged from the Indo-Iranians. The Indo-Aryans, who moved towards the Indo-subcontinent, and the Iranians, who migrated to the Iranian plateau. It's important to note that these migrations were not a single event, but took place over centuries. The ancient Iranian religions evolved over time. Zoroastrianism became a more belief during the time of the Achaemenid Empire and continued after that. In terms of a language, each of these tribes had its own dialect and language. This added to the variety of languages in ancient Iran. Avestan is the ancient language of the Avesta, the sacred text of Zoroastrianism. The main language was Old Persian and is known primarily from inscriptions or monuments and coins. This empire was vast, stretching from Anatolia, modern-day Turkey, to Egypt, and as far as the Indus Valley. Old Persian wasn't just a language, it showed the empire's power and rich culture. The cuneiform script was used for these inscriptions. You can see this in a carving at Persepolis, Bakhtajamshi, a big city back then. Two significant examples of Old Persian writings are the Bistum inscription and the Cyrus cylinder. Famous kings like Darius the Great and Xerxes had the Bistum inscription made. What's amazing about it is that it has the same writing in three old languages, Old Persian, Edomite, and Babylonian. This shows the mix of languages in the area and how old and important these writings are. The late 4th century BC witnessed the rise of Alexander the Great with its conquest of the Achaemenid Empire. Greek culture and Hellenistic influences started mixing into Persian arts, governance, and language. After the death of Alexander the Great, his vast territories were divided among his generals, leading to the formation of several kingdoms. One of these, called the Seleucid Empire, was started by the Seleucus, who was one of Alexander's generals. This empire took over many places that used to be in Achaemenid Empire, including lots of areas in what we now call Iran. During the Seleucid era, Greek and Persian cultures mixed, starting the Hellenistic period in those lands. The Seleucids mainly spoke Greek, and they spread Greek administrative, culture, and intellectual tradition throughout their domain.
Cities like Ctesiphon and Seleucia,
founded or expanded under the Seleucid dynasty, became melting pot of Greco-Persian culture. Following the Old Persian stage, the language evolved into Middle Persian, which was spoken during the Parthian and Sasanian empires. During the Parthian time, their land was vast, stretching from the Euphrates in the west all the way to the Indus in the east. This expansive territory facilitated the fusion of diverse linguistic and cultural elements.
Mithridates I expanded the Parthian land and spread the Parthian language and culture.
A remarkable artifact of this period is the Nisa inscriptions. They provide a glimpse into Parthian daily life, beliefs, and how different languages and cultures mixed together. The Sassanid era was equally influential. Founded by Ardashir I, the Sassanid Empire sought to revive the glory days of Achaemenid Empire. Ardashir's effort to centralize governments and standardize administrative processes directly impacted the status of Middle Persian. This administrative language is called Zaban Pahlavi. Its script, derived from Aramaic, became the primary medium for various official inscriptions, religious Zoroastrian texts, and scholarly writings, safeguarding traditions and stories. The influence of Zoroastrian priests during this period cannot be overstated. Their central role in religious, educational, and administrative matters ensured the Middle Persian flourished. Khosrow I is a significant figure from the Sassanid period. He established the Academy of Jundid Shapur, which became an intellectual hub, drawing scholars from various parts of the world. Here, numerous Greek, Indian, and other works were translated into Middle Persian. This added many new words and ideas to the Persian language. The 7th century CE was a big turning point to Persia. The Rashidun Caliphate's armies entered the lands of the Sassanid Empire. This changed not just the religion of the area, but also the way people spoke and wrote. Arabic, the main language of Islam, and the new rulers started mixing with Persian over centuries. Thousands of Arabic words were assimilated into Persian vocabulary. When an Arabic script was adopted, it wasn't 100% compatible with the Persian language, as the Arabic alphabet consists of 28 alphabets. Persians added 4 more alphabet to compensate for more authentic Persian sounds. However, this wasn't one-way street. The Persians, with their deep history and culture, really helped make the Islamic Golden Age shine. A standout scholar of this era was Razi, a polymath of the highest order. He made major contributions to medicines with his notable book Kitab al-Hawi, combining ideas from Greece, India, and early Arabic sources. This book even made waves in Europe. Another thinker, Farabi, wrote mostly in Arabic but was deeply shaped by Persian insight. He often worked on translations and explanations of Aristotle's works. This mix of Persian ideas with Islamic learning made Persian even more important in the Islamic world. In the time from the 9th to the 15th centuries, the powerful Abbasid Caliphate came into the picture. Leaders like Harun and Mahmud really valued Persian scholars and officials. They even set up a special place for learning in Baghdad, the Kul Bayt al-Hikmah, or House of Wisdom. It was like a big library of a university where a lot of smart people came to share knowledge. Here, the knowledge of ancient Persia merged with Greek thought as texts were translated into Arabic. However, it was during the Samanid Empire that the Persian Renaissance truly took shape. Under the Samanid, Persian became the official language of the state, and lots of great books and poems were written. Poets like Rudaki often considered as the pioneer of Persian poetry. Rudaki's poems not only capture the feelings of his era, but they also played a big part in rebuilding the Persian language, which had been overshadowed after the Arab influences. Another significant literary achievement of this period was Ferdowsi's Shahnameh, the Book of Kings, an epic poem that preserved and celebrated Iran's pre-Islamic history and culture in Persian language and identity. Particularly, Ferdowsi's commitment to preserving ancient legends and purity of a Persian language sets the tone for future generations. As time moved into the classic Persian era, from the 13th to the 19th century CE, the era saw the dramatic impact of the Mongol invasion. The dynasties which came to the power after Mongol invasion marked another era for the history of the Persian language. During the time of the Timurid and the Safavid dynasty, places like Samarkand and Herat became melting pots of Persian art, philosophy, and literature. A standout figure was Ibn Sina. He wrote the Canon of Medicine, a medical encyclopedia which was referenced for centuries both in East and West. His philosophical works merged Greek philosophy with Islamic thought, laying the groundwork for a lot of Islamic philosophy that followed. This deep passion for literature and learning only grew stronger during the Ilkhonian era. Persian became the lingua franca of their court and administration. During this time, some of the biggest names in Persian literature came into the limelight.
Sa'adi, with his standout works Bustan and Gulistan,
explore the values and everyday life of people. Hafez wrote beautiful Ghazal that talked about love and the spirit. And you can't forget the Sufi mystic Mulavi, showing just how deep and rich Persian culture and writing can be. The 16th century marked the rise of the Safavids, establishing Shia Islam's dominance in Iran. This era experienced a renaissance of a Persian language, especially under the influential regent of Shah Abbas I. He transformed Isfahan into a magnificent cultural hub. This period was also a golden age for Persian literature. With Shah Abbas' patronage, poets and intellectuals were drawn to his court, turning it into a literary salon.
Among these was Sohib Tabrizi,
distinguished poet who is often considered one of the greatest masters of classical Persian literature. His poetry, filled with creative metaphors and detailed visions, captured the sophisticated essence of the era. The Safavids were not isolated in their grandeur. Their diplomatic endeavors, trade relations, and military campaigns led to interaction with neighboring regions,
including the Mughal Empire in India and the Ottoman Empire in Anatolia.
These exchanges helped spread Persian culture.
Persian language was highly estimated in Mughal India, particularly under monarchies such as Akbar,
who had a deep appreciation for Persian literary works. In the 18th century, Nadir Shah, often called the Napoleon of Persia, showed his military brilliance. His battles spread far, even reaching Delhi in northern India in 1739.
After winning the Battle of Karnal, he briefly visited Delhi.
While his rule is mainly known for military actions, these adventures influenced language as Persian met with other languages. Especially in diverse India, they shared words. The mix of languages was most noticeable in areas like government, arts, and writing. For example, Divan, originally a Persian word referring to a collection of poems on office of administration, it became common in several Indian languages to mean a court, a council of rulers.Fuj, a Persian word meaning army, which was adopted in many North Indian languages. During the Qajar period in Iran, there were a lot of changes and challenges, especially from European countries. As Iran interacted more with Europe, the Persian language started to include many new words. These included technical words from areas like engineering, government, and health, words related to things like modern organizations, communication technology, and trains became common in everyday speech. For example, telegraph was borrowed directly from the European term. Or Tash Feshan became the term to describe the geological phenomena drawing from Otash, fire, and Feshan, to spill. Not only did they borrow words from other languages, but they also gave new meanings to old Persian words to explain new ideas and things. For example, Doneshgah, university, which initially just meant place of knowledge, was now used specifically for higher education institutions. Bank, adapted from the European word, became the term for financial institutions, while it originally referred to benches where money changers sat. Another example is a Ruznome, and it began to mean newspaper. The Qajar period witnessed a literary renaissance. Iraj stands out as a figure who straddled the world of classical Persian poetry and modern literary trends. His works often highlighted social issues, particularly concerning women's rights and modern education. He, among other poets and writers of his time, illustrates the essence of a society at the crossroads of tradition and modernity. The late Qajar era marked the onset of modernization in Persia, which intensified under the Pahlavi dynasty. In the early 20th century, under Reza Shah's leadership, there was a strong push to re-Persianize the Persian language. The central idea was to foster national pride by going back to the language's roots and minimizing foreign influences. Muhammad Ali Forghi, in response to Reza Shah's demand for an association to coin Amin words, make an association and gathering linguistics, grammarians, and literary figures suggested the foundation of academic of Persian language and literature in Tehran. Its task is to revive and promote the purity of the Persian language. The academy delved into ancient Persian script, looking for words and terms that had been forgotten but could be reintroduced. For example, telegraph. The borrowed term for telegraph was telegraph. The academic proposed the term Dodnegar, which literally means distance writer. The word for telephone was telephone. Based on a Western origin, the academic introduced Gushi, which literally translated to ear piece. Today, Gushi is colloquially used for mobile phone in Iran. Many of these newly coined terms did not replace an already existing ones but were introduced as alternatives. Some of them caught on and became part of everyday language, while others remained less popular. While all this was happening, there were also writers and poets who brought fresh air to Persian literature. Jamal Zadeh is one name that stands out. He wrote stories in a style that was new and modern, making it easier for everyday people to understand. Then there was Sadiq Hidayat, best known for his novel Bufekur, The Blind Ode. His work dared to tackle deep, sometimes dark themes. And let's not forget Furugh Farrokhzad, a female poet who wasn't afraid to talk about her feelings, love, and challenges in society. Today, Persian continues to evolve. Just like term cafe or rendezvous from other languages, Persian has borrowed from English, French, and other languages. Persian is more than just a language. It's like a storybook that takes you on a journey from ancient tales to today's news. When you learn Persian, you are not just learning words, you are getting a ticket to a whole new world of stories, ideas, and history. So why not start with Persian and see where its magic takes you? I hope you like this video. If you like it, please give me a like and subscribe. See you in the next one. Bye!